gentlemen, it is April 3rd, 2018. You are now tuned into The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tack, and I'm your announcer today. And I'm going to turn it over now to the pastor of the Community Christian Fellowship Church in Prospect, Ohio, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Oh, how are you, Terry?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Well, if anybody wants to call in tonight, the number is
740-383-9944. And your message is?
And my message is today, we are going to be talking about...
Your phone message that you always tell before we get started. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, everyone. I just came in out of the rain. So if you want to call in tonight and tell me I'm all wet, you will be absolutely correct. Church is at 209 East Water Street. We are Community Christian Fellowship. We are actually a Baptist church. Most people don't realize that because of the name, but we are Baptist in affiliation. And we are there every week. We're there midweek, and we'd love to see you. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And the website is prospectccf.com. And love to have you come by sometime, but 10:30 on Sunday morning. We're at Sunday school before that. But here we are tonight at Pastor Spot. And another subject tonight, huh?
Yes. And the rules of the phone calls.
Ah, yes, the rules of the phone call. I'll tell you what, it has just been this last weekend. I have been going nonstop. I literally raced to get here. So, guys, give me a little bit of slack to clear his mind. Yeah, exactly. The rules of the phone call are this. You know, we love to talk to you and love to discuss anything. But however, this is a friendly show, and it's a great show to interact on. And if anybody, go ahead and call in. But any negativity, and you will be cut off immediately. We don't do that. It's kind of counterproductive to what we're doing here.
Okay. Now, on to the agenda.
Yes. Today's subject is one that is on my mind a lot lately, and has been for years, actually. And it's about gifted children. And someone might say, oh boy, that loses me right there. Or, oh yeah, that's my child. What's he going to talk about them? And I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk about the very fact that we are all designed by God individually. He tells us he knew us before the foundations of the earth, that we were carefully and wonderfully made. And he talks about the church and the body of Christ being a body just like your physical body. And no member is more important than the other one. And God gives us, each and every one of us, different gifts. We're designed by him, and we're designed with love. So even though you may look at someone and think, well, I don't think you did a very good job designing them, we think what our purposes are many times. We don't always think about what are God's purposes. And what led me to this discussion was the fact that I see a lot of kids being emotionally left behind. And let me talk about that a minute. First, I'd like to qualify myself just a little bit to even talk about kids. For one, I've raised four of my own, and my youngest granddaughter will be graduating from high school this year. I was a kid at one time, I think we all were, and when I first went into ministry, well, prior to going into ministry, actually, I worked with a lot of youth programs with 4-H. I was a 4-H advisor for many years and sat on some advisory boards there. I worked with FFA, which used to be called Future Farmers of America. Now it's just FFA. And worked with kids and judging teams and just a lot of different things. I was a Sunday school teacher, and I was with kids there, and I've always found myself wanting to spend time with children because I'm interested in them, seeing how they grow. I had a very difficult childhood in a lot of ways, and I always have had a burden in my heart to see kids avoid some of the pitfalls that I fell through and went through, and let them know that even when they do, that there's light at the end of the tunnel. But when I first went into ministry, I thought I wanted to be a youth pastor. So the first year and a half of school, I focused on a youth pastor track and studying young people and the psychology of young people and things of that nature, and certainly what God says in the Word of God about young people. And I've always worked with kids. I'm just excited to still work with them. I work with them. I'm a huddle coach in the school for FCA, and I substitute a lot and just spend a, I spend a lot of time with kids. It's just something. Every Thursday, when time permits, I meet with a bunch of kids in the town where we live, a Prospect, and we get pizza and just I just let them talk. Teenagers talk, and it gives them a chance to talk about what's going on at school and just a time to open up. So, although I'm not a expert on children, I think I got somewhat of a handle on them as far as what may be good and what may not be good for them. And I'm sure there's a lot of other opinions out there that are better than mine. I've read numerous books on raising and guiding and steering young people, and it's just always been a passion of mine. But talking about what brought me to this subject was we have classes in school, and I know that the state works and even the federal government, and it sets programs aside and does certain things, and they in our school systems, and not all of it can be completely controlled by the school system. But we have certain classes, and certain kids meet in those classes. And one of the things that I've noticed in the last few years we have a lot of are what we call gifted classes. Now, I've had some of my, even some of my grandchildren in those gifted classes. So I'm not here to be sour grapes because I don't have any kids in gifted classes, because I do. And it's very interesting as I watch this. One thing that really made me pay attention to it, one of my grandchildren was talking one day a few years back about they got put in a gifted class, and their mom was excited about, you know, that it's a gifted class. I saw the look on a sibling's face, and the look was disappointment, whatever they were thinking. I don't measure up. I must not be as smart. I must not be as good. And it got me thinking a little bit. And one thing that I really try to get young people to understand is their personal value, each and every one of them. Now, there are needs for these classes, and I'll get into that in a few minutes, and I'll get into maybe some alternatives to where we can work both sides of this equation. But with young people, I find that they could be damaged very easily. I was a young teenager, 13 years old, when my father was tragically killed in a car accident, and we didn't have much, and I didn't have a dad, and I remember being in school that in the school that I was in, that I was kind of looked in many cases by some of the parents as damaged goods. When I go out with someone or date them. Matter of fact, one parent went to the extent of taking their daughter and switching schools when we were like juniors in high school because they were so afraid that we were getting close enough. Now, I'm not talking about a physical relationship, but we had gotten grown together enough as friends. They were scared to death that I was going to end up long-term with their daughter, and I just didn't measure up. And I cannot tell you, or maybe I can, I don't know, Terry, I can't tell you how that hurt me. I remember talking to a young man several years back, and their family lived in a very, let's just say, unsightly curb appeal house. And he was telling me that he was a good athlete, and a girl, one of the more popular girls in school, wanted to date him, and her parents actually said, "Doesn't he live in such and such a place? You're not dating him." And, you know, you think about these things, and I think sometimes we really forget what this does to kids, how it makes them feel. Another aspect from my own personal experience in my own life was I went to a smaller school, and most of the teachers in that school had come from pretty much the same college, and they were younger teachers. It was a... It was a school that my mother went way out of her way. It's amazing. As much as she struggled financially, my mom worked three jobs after my dad passed away. But she wanted my sister and I to have an education in a Christian school. And she was willing to work that hard. And I had some siblings that were adults that helped pay for it, but actually sent me there. What a blessing. To be able to go somewhere that that was different. I still was very active in my neighborhood. Most kids at the high school, I was from Hilliard, and most of the kids just assumed I went to Hilliard, even though they didn't see me in the halls, because I was everywhere, and a very gregarious type person. But anyway, our senior year, about all the kids were going to go to this one college that most of the teachers had come from. And the reason they'd come from there, they were all first, second, third year teachers, because schools have a hard time making ends meet sometimes, especially those that are private. And one teacher tells another that's graduating before you know it. Well, anyway, there was a problem that I don't even know if they recognized, that we had about two-thirds of the kids, maybe three-quarters of the kids, in the class that were planning on going to that very college. Actually, to the point that one of our, in psychology class that year, they actually used the first-year psychology book from that school to give these kids a leg up. But the rest of us were kind of treated like damaged goods, like we really didn't matter. We didn't get the classroom attention the other ones did. We didn't get the, and not in all the classes, don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying these teachers were bad. It was just a natural thing. These kids are going to their alma mater. How can we help them out, give them a leg up? But see, they didn't realize what that did to some of us that really felt like, man, what a, matter of fact, one kid that was going to go to the same type program I wanted to go into, actually halfway through the year, switched and decided to go to this school because he wanted to be with the in-group. And so we have to understand that we may think one way, but we've always got to pay attention to what these young people are thinking. And let me grab a drink here. But Terry, you know, I think that all of us are aware, and I'm not going to belabor the point, that we have a lot of kids in broken, rough homes today. So, which really increases that more than even it used to be. Do you have any thoughts on that yourself?
Well, my story is similar. I came to I came from a home like that where it was my mom and my two sisters, and you know, we just we kind of made do with what we had because we knew we didn't have a whole lot, so we didn't ask for a whole lot. You know, we just kind of. And now I'm proud to say that both of my two sisters have master's degrees, and so.
Yeah, I my family is. I've got a brother that has a double doctorate. I have a sister that's been in education for 30 years.
You know, I mean, but yeah, along the line of the gifted you're talking about, my older sister was always in those programs in school, yeah, and, you know, so.
My sister, Patty, has what they call a photographic memory. She's a brilliant lady, but she's always been a people person, too. But, you know, everyone in my family's done well. I have a sister that was in banking and sales for many years, and my brother was a pastor, and now he works for Heartbeat International. No, he is with, what's it called, the food pantry. We have one here in town. It'll come to before the end of the show. But anyway, he's always been in social type ministry himself also. So with all Mom had, she worked really hard. We did okay. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm getting at tonight is I think that we need to pay, if we're going to have a whole society and a society that works well together and a society that's functioning, I think we got to get back to the importance of everyone. And I'm not for a minute saying that those teachers in school, the kids that aren't in those programs, are not important to them, because they are. And I'm not even talking about changing programs. In a sense, I'm talking about changing titles. And let me explain a little bit of that. First of all, we have classes that we will call, and this isn't any particular school specific, but gifted math, gifted English, gifted, okay, math and English are two that are pretty popular, gifted science. That's great. I think it's wonderful that we have those classes for those kids that can excel. But where we have to be careful is that what we call them. when you have kids that tell other kids, well, I'm in the gifted class, kind of in a backdoor way, the kids that are receiving that are saying, you just called me a dummy. I mean, really. I know how these kids think. I've talked to them. I've seen their faces. And all kids are so wonderfully gifted. And these kids that are do well in those areas have every right to be to excel and not become bored in classes and that kind of thing. But I wonder sometimes if we can't handle it a little bit differently. You know, have those classes, but say, this person is in an accelerated math class because they happen to be good in math. They make, or maybe they're in an accelerated science class. But to say that they are, my child is in gifted classes, you're saying that that person has special gifts. When the bottom line is, God designed every child with special gifts. You see where I'm at? And why would we labor or label certain groups of kids gifted and not other kids? You might say, well, what do you mean by gifted? Well, there's all kinds of gifts. I've got a little granddaughter. Her name's Julia. Julia is in the fourth grade. She's had spina bifida since she was born. Has spent most of her life either trying to walk on you know, crutches or in a wheelchair. She lights up a room wherever she goes. She has a beautiful, beautiful smile on her face. She loves to sing. She asks everyone how they are. If you told her that, man, I've got this terrible cold, or she overheard you saying it, and she saw you a month later, she'd say, Mr. Terry, is your cold better? This is just the nature of this child, and this is how God made her. Now, is she going to be a straight-A student? Probably not. You know, kids with spina bifida are born with hydrocephalus, and it does have a tendency to delay their responsiveness a little bit. She's very intelligent, but it delays their responsiveness. So in our current educational system, she's not going to excel. You understand. But she has an unbelievable gift. I remember one time years ago, she was about 3 years old, and we had another church come in from South Carolina. And they were just doing a mission trip, wanted a church to go, and they ended up at our church. They stayed for a week. And we plan all these things, and you do all these things, and you really want to make a good showing of who you are and help them and be there. And their pastor wrote me a letter when they left. And he said, you know, he said, out of the whole week, the thing that moved my spirit the most was that three-year-old girl, Julia. And she did everyone in our church. Now, what I'm getting at with that, I know another little girl, by the way, Josie Hoodlett. Josie was born with several physical difficulties and things from problems before she was still in utero. And Josie, another little one, people just love her. They love her spirit. They love her heart, her dedication. She'll never do things other kids will do, but they love her. And I can find these kids over and over again. Now, is Julia gifted? You better believe she is. You see where I'm at? Even when it comes to athletics sometimes, I understand that we have to keep a certain grade point average or kids might just slack because they want to play sports and not worry about it. So you got to keep that up there. But there needs to be a way, I think, sometimes that these kids that, and I think there is in many schools, that literally can't make it that way, but they have a gift of physical ability to be able to still continue to do that. And I think schools are working towards getting into programs to help with that. But gifted, let me think about that. We have so many gifts among children. What if we had a gifted class? What if we had a gifted class for kids that were great arbitrators? Think about that a minute. There's two people. There's a couple of kinds of people in the world that really are movers and shakers. You got to have bean counters. You got to have researchers. And I guess the third of it, you got to have arbitrators, the deal makers. These would be your business managers, your lawyers, your arbitrators in business, people that set up, make things happen, real estate people, things of that nature. So why not celebrate as a gifted thing somebody that really has a gift of that? You met John that was in here a week ago. John was on a radio program. He's a great coach, but he went to work for a company. They almost didn't hire him. This is when he was several, many years back. But he knew someone in the company that said, you know, you need to take a chance on this guy. And the particular position that he had interviewed for, they only accepted degree graduates in that area. Well, John was not a degree graduate in that area. And the guy said, take a chance on this guy anyway. Within a year, he was so excelling that he was starting to worry some of the people that had the degrees, because here's a guy comes in off, you know, that's doing so well. He has the ability, and you notice from talking to John, he is a real people person. He's a thinker. He understands. He figures things out. John would have never been in a gifted class at school. Very bright guy. Very bright guy. Can figure anything out. So I think that sometimes we got to pay attention to what we're saying about kids. Have the same class, but say, you know, this is a class for give it another name, basically. Not gifted, because all kids are gifted. Right. And I don't think that it's fair to divide that up. Another thing that I think about sometimes, in high school, they move into what's called honors classes. Well, what are we honoring now? Think about that. Are we honoring grades? Are we honoring academic achievement? Now, I know that in like a National Honor Society, they have three different categories. One is a GPA, and then they have a person's character, how they are character relationally, and what they do socially, what their outside work is in different areas. But I have to be honest, while some of those kids meet all three of those criteria very well, I think we've probably all witnessed kids that the only real criteria they had was the GPA. But you wouldn't dare not let them in because they were so bright. I think that we, if we're going to do that, how about the kid that does wonderful things in their community? You know, a kid that goes around and he mows yards for shut-ins. And he doesn't do it for glory. He does it because he wants to help. And maybe he doesn't have quite that GPA. But, man, you know, this is somebody we need in our community. We need in our society those people that love and care. Not that the kids that are getting good grades don't. I'm saying let's just look at a more kind of a holistic picture at the whole thing and say, what are we telling kids that are not getting into these classes and quite frankly can't? Okay, there's a lot of kids that don't test well. A lot of kids suffer from dyslexia. ADD is so common now, it's everywhere. I've got ADD, and I pass it on to all my kids, the poor things. And they're like me. They bob all over the place, and we fill our brain up and have trouble going to sleep at night. But it doesn't mean that we're any less talented and understand. My father went to the 10th grade, maybe. They were of that generation back that eloped and went to West Virginia as teenagers. And you know why kids did that back then, Terry? This is a funny story. I'm going to side note you guys on this one. Back then, when a boy and a girl wanted to be together, they knew that it was wrong to live together. And that it was wrong to sleep together. But when the temptation got so great, they took off and eloped. That's why you saw many 16-year-old marriages. My mom wasn't pregnant when she got married. She was 16. My dad was 17. But they had fallen in love, and they knew what the next thing was going to happen. And, you know what? My dad said, I don't want to take advantage of her. And she said, I'm madly in love with him. And away they went and got. That's why there were so many of those. Isn't that interesting, though? It was a different time in our moral structure in the country. I think it was a better time. My parents were great parents. My mom later went back to school. From home, she actually very back in the 50s, she took a correspondence school that the teacher in it was none other than Norman Rockwell. And he actually graded her work. And they would send this stuff out, and they would have stuff they'd have to draw and do different things and send it in, and he would grade them. And my mom was just a tremendous artist and used that most of her life. But and my dad was one of those kind of guys. He didn't graduate from high school, but I think he could probably sell you anything. And people loved him. He was a great people person, hard worker. So they would not have fit in our honors program. Matter of fact, in today's society, they'd be kind of, oh, man.
But you know, it would depend on how we're on what, how we're looking at it. Mm-hmm. Are we looking at your attributes or your abilities?
Ah, there you go.
They have great attributes, but they may not have the best abilities. You see what
and
I mean? You see
you're
what
right.
Saying?
And yeah. Here's the thing. But we're made up of attributes and abilities.
Yeah.
And if you have a bunch of abilities and no attributes, you're in trouble. And if you have a lot of attributes and not as many abilities, it can actually override the abilities and people would never guess.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Which do we value more, attributes or abilities?
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, I think that in our current, in the educational system in America, and when we start, I think one thing, when we started seeing some of the other countries outpace us in mathematics, in a lot of the technology and stuff, I think we got scared. And we started gearing everything towards that. Now we're getting to the point where I truly believe we're starting to step back and take a little bit of a look and say, wait a minute, I think maybe we need some more tech schools. I think maybe we need some more hands-on things. It's great to have these people we need people that are unbelievable mathematicians and unbelievable scientists and can really think way outside of where the normal person's range is in some of these areas. They're needed. But to be honest with you, one thing that's really hurt us also in this whole area, in the educational area, I believe, is we no longer see apprenticeships. It was probably about 30 years ago, I was doing some work for a family, and their father was the last licensed engineer that came up through Battelle that had not gone to college. And he was an engineer at Battelle that had never been to college, but he came up through the apprentice system. He was the last one. And you know, when people come up through an apprentice-type program, they learn hands-on as they go, and they learn to develop themselves as good people persons. If they're in management, good managers, they understand the process, what's going on, they become good teachers. And unfortunately, what we've done in a lot of cases is because they're pulling this pool from all college graduates, someone graduates in business management, but they have no business skills. They have no management skills. I've been victim of that in employment in the past, where someone's came in and they got an unbelievable degree in front of them, and there's nothing there. And it happens in ministry too. Now, I have to be careful there, because we are called to be good stewards of the word. If we are going to teach and preach, God calls us to be good stewards of his word. However, other than work that was done in the temple complex and some different things back then, there weren't a lot of universities for everyone to go to. And when I look at today, although when I was called into ministry, I knew first and foremost, I've got to get back in school. I've got so much to learn. If I'm going to be teaching God's word, I better know it, right? I better understand it. I better have some seasoned people teaching me. And I was blessed to go to a school where most of the guys there had actually been out in the field at one time, pastoring churches, and they could bring that into the equation, which helped me tremendously. But I'll give you an example. I know of a man very close to here, within 40 miles of here, has one of the largest churches in Franklin County. Outreach, they do a tremendous outreach. They have been a hugely solid church. As far as people look at it as a business, they've been a solid church there. I don't like to look at church as a business because it's not. But anyway, they've been a fantastic church. And he has been there since the church's inception. And they're a very, very large church, multiple services. He never saw a day of college. Bright man. But he went into ministry, studied the Word. And, I mean, you're not going to challenge him on the Bible because he knows it that well. I mean, I don't care how many years of school you have. The point is that we have to understand that we have abilities outside of a score sheet sometimes. And when it comes to our children, we have to be careful that we don't label someone that has huge potential and therefore hold them back from doing great things. I thought when I got out of high school, the only thing I was going to be good at was working and having a family. And that's exactly what I did. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with hard work. And I love my children. I have a wonderful family. But a lot of the goals that I may have thought, it took me many years to get past some of that and realize that, what am I so worried about? God made me with the potential he wanted me to have, just like the person next to me that may have had a lot more opportunities than I did, or maybe even had a better attitude, or maybe a better work ethic in school. And I think that we need to realize that we need to understand that sometimes inadvertently we tear kids down just by what we call something else when we're trying to be positive. Create some programs for those kids that maybe aren't at the top of the GPA list, but they're unbelievably wonderful human beings. Maybe they can light up a room. You know, maybe they're great at bringing people together. Maybe they have an unbelievable work ethic. I've got one of my grandsons is not the best student, and I think he's not the best student because that's just not his thing right now. He'll get decent grades because he knows he has to, but he's not going to be in an honors class. But I'll tell you what, you talking about a worker, and there's not an older retired person around that doesn't love him to death, because if they need him, he's right there doing anything they need. That's an honor. We should honor that. We should honor the students that need honor outside of just a GPA. GPAs are great. Unfortunately, what do you think they're judging our kids by? They're judging our kids by GPAs and test score. We are testing our kids to death. If you'll talk to most teachers today, they haven't been able to teach anymore because they are teaching to the test. And as soon as they get done prepping them for one test, it's time to prep them for another state test coming in. And that's all they do is teach the test. And the real hands-on teaching in the classroom, where they learn from the experience and the knowledge of the teacher, it frustrates teachers too. I know it does. You know, it would have to. Nobody wants just to teach the test. And you know what, to be honest with you, you've probably done this. You were in school. When I was in school, I could cram, and I could get 100% on something. And 2 weeks later, I didn't know any of it. Didn't we do that? You know, are we forcing people to cram and not learn? What good does that do us down the road? We have a bunch of people that think because they got good grades that they're intelligent, that they're smart, and they can't get out and do anything because they haven't had any substance in that educational time. And it's a real challenge I think the schools have today. And I know situations too where kids will look down on the other kids because they are in what's called a gifted class. You know, you don't measure up to me. I'm in a gifted class. One of the most unfair things in the world. I want to tell you, parent, if you have one of these children, which we all have had them ourselves, that are really gifted in academics, keep them humble. And I'll tell you why. They're not any better than the kids that aren't. And when you start putting that persona out there, you become a person in adult life that nobody likes. You ever meet someone, Terry, that thinks so highly of themselves and of their intelligence that you just got to get away from them? We've all met those people. And I fear sometimes the reason they are that way is someone kept putting them on a pedestal for what they knew and not what they did.
can I kind of go off the beaten path here for a minute, a little bit, but it kind of relates to
what you're saying.
But do you think now with this, with these gifted classes, and maybe it doesn't tie in at all, but do you think that, not blaming them, but do you think maybe social media has something to do with that too? Of course, they let you know on social media that they're, you know, these kids.
Social media, don't get me started. It's one of the things damage kids more than anything else today. Let me tell you one of the reasons why. It'll constantly tell you how smart you are when you reach a certain level, when you can master a certain thing. And
do you notice it a lot, you know, especially with you, like your work with children, do they seem to critique like spelling and things? You see what I'm saying? I mean,
no.
I mean, I don't know if that's even ties in.
I don't think so. You mean other kids spelling?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, like, if they think those kids are inferior to them, I mean, you know, and they post something that the other kid does.
Kids, I see adults do it.
Yeah.
You know, okay, here's the difference between whatever
maybe,
word we
maybe
have.
Maybe they didn't use the word there in a correct sense.
Yeah, well, I've seen that on social media. Yeah. Okay, here are the words. T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-R-E, T-H-E-Y, apostrophe R-E, mm-hmm. and they'll give the definitions. And then some commenter will say something like, I really don't need to be subjected, you're ignorant, study these. Mm-hmm. Come on. Now, I understand, you know, it's great to write a good letter.
And
it's
I'm
great
to be able
to, and it's not wrong to know that stuff, and we should do it right.
I'm not saying that all the gifted kids do that, but I'm just saying, you know, from your experience, I mean, I wonder if there's a group of gifted kids that I'm sure probably, or kids that are in these gifted classes, excuse me, that probably do that.
I think right now we have a lot of kids that think they're so much more intelligent than the adults around them. And we see it. We see it on the news. We see it on you know, kids that really feel that they are so far in a superior in intellect that they won't listen to a thing that the generation that should be mentoring them has to say. Maybe some of it's founded, but not, it really isn't. And you know, when I have a kid say to me, well, were you ever in a gifted class? No, and I'll tell you why. We didn't have them back then. When a kid was in a class and they needed to excel, the teacher would find things to help them excel. When maybe we were having downtime, study time, or they would use that child that was gifted to help the other kids. And see, what that does is that builds a bond between those two. A lot of these kids take off academically and they get lost socially because the social interaction isn't there. And they begin to think of themselves more superior. And worse than that, the other kids begin to think of themselves as not being worthy, not cutting the mustard, not being good enough. You know, the teacher doesn't like me because I'm not very smart, which is the furthest thing in the world from the truth. These teachers love these kids, and they feel bad for the ones that are in bad situations. And back to every program we've talked about on here, Terry, we got to learn to love each other and find self-worth in each other, to respect each other's opinions, whether you agree with them or not. You know, we use that word tolerance real easy. And let me explain out there, tolerance has really been tossed around today as far as a word that's totally lost its meaning. Tolerance means that I have my opinion. I may not agree with you at all, but I respect your right to have your opinion, and I'm going to get along with you. In other words, tolerance doesn't mean that I accept your opinion as being right. You see what I mean? And we've been led to believe today that if we're going to be tolerant of someone, we got to be wholly accepting in agreement with what they're doing. And that's not true. Tolerance is being able to tolerate someone, to be kind to them, and still have a differing opinion. You see what I mean? I've got friends outside of ministry that don't believe a thing I do, but they tolerate me and I think I tolerate them. But at some point they're probably hoping they win me over and I'm praying I win them over. But the point is we don't break friendship over it and there's a mutual respect.
I heard today something kind of along the same line you're talking about. They were thinking about the millennials' use of the word why.
Mm-hmm.
They said millennials use the word why more than any other. And they don't mean it in a like in a bad context, that they're just more inquisitive. They just want to know why.
Why?
You know? And they were saying how they were incorporating that kind of in their everyday vocabulary, you know?
And they do want to know why. They're not being taught a lot of why and told a lot of why.
Yeah.
We're so... I think that sometimes we are so afraid of hurting someone's feelings, not being politically correct, that we shy back and people don't even know things anymore. We've got to reconnect. You know, I can ask teenagers today, and this blows me away. You don't know how many teenagers I've asked, what's your dad do for a living? I don't know. Goes to work. Huh? Man, I knew everything about my dad's job there was to know. Where's the connection? You understand what I mean? We put the headphones on, we crank up whatever, and we zone out. And, you know, kids that, you know, everyone wants their kid to get straight A's and be really brilliant in their studies and whatnot. I did. Everyone does. But I want them to be real people, too. I'm sure you've met people that are extremely brilliant but can't function in the world. Huh? And there's people that are not what we call the brightest bulb, that's a word used, that function extremely well and do well for themselves and love people and people love them. I got to sit back and ask myself, it doesn't have to be an either or, and it's not always, but which one would I rather be? I'd rather be someone with character that cared about people and they cared about me, and I learned to function and live in the world and work in the world, than to be someone that knew everything, had no character, and didn't care about anybody but myself. And I don't think those things are mutually exclusive at all. I know so many kids, just like I was at a ceremony for our National Honor Society a week ago, and I know some of those kids, and I'll tell you what, we've got some kids that get great grades, and they're just, they love everybody. They're great kids. They do stuff in the church and socially and help people. Well-rounded, wonderful young people. What a blessing. And those kids are celebrated, and they should be. What I'm getting at is that we should add a lot more inclusion into the celebration than I think sometimes we do. And we say that, well, this is so much percentage of your score, this and this, and we should really look at that and see what really is so much for a percentage. I think that, because we have to be honest, that, and I'm not blaming this generation or that generation. My generation certainly messed up in a lot of ways. But quit blaming anyone anyway. Just do what you're supposed to do. And I think that we're a people that has lost our ability to love each other because we've been categorized all over the place. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's... I can definitely see that. I mean, you know, we always want to give people nowadays labels or titles, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that, instead of actually embracing that person for who they are.
Exactly.
We have to see what their assistant man, you know, so we have to give them by a title or a label instead of just saying, you know, what a lovely person or, you know, or whatever.
Or respect their abilities for what they're able
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet, and I don't have the statistics on this. It's been a long day. I can't even talk on this. But I'll look it up, and maybe someone else can and call in and let me know next time, or I'll bring it with me. I would bet that if you took our presidents that we've had in the United States and you took the top 20 that have been the most successful in bringing the country together, I don't even have any in mind right now who they would be. I'm just saying I would be willing to bet they were very well-rounded people that may not have been at the top of their charts academically. They weren't at the bottom, but they weren't at the top. And they had wonderful social skills, and they knew how to be a deal maker. You see, and that's the thing. We need to understand every person has value. You know, I was at an FFA banquet, convention in Louisville several years back. And there was a guy on there that was speaking to all the kids, and he had had his face burnt off by white sulfur when he was in Vietnam. Face was gone. Now, is there any hope for that guy to be successful? No. not the way society would look at him. He had to wear a plastic face, so he even looked somewhat like a human to talk to him. But you know what? He held that audience of 50,000 kids captive, and he talked to them about life and goals. You see what I mean? We got to start stretching our thinking a little bit. Celebrate those kids that do well, but celebrate all the kids that do well. Maybe change it from the gifted class to an accelerated English class. Maybe the government says leave it gifted. It doesn't mean in the school you can't kind of call it something different. You know, how about I have an accelerated class for these other kids? So those are just some of the things I want to talk about. Man, did time fly tonight.
It did.
It really did. And I've... I didn't even scratch the surface on this one, I don't think. And
we have to carry this one over. Until
we may have to, and maybe I'll do a little more research and have some more figures next time. But I'll tell you, we're down to 1 minute. So I want to tell you, our Easter services went great at church. I still want to tell you guys that we are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and Bible-obedient church. We're a very as-come-as-you-are church. We're just a bunch of people, and we're from all walks of life. And in our church, it's Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We would love to see you. We have great kids programs during the week. We have youth group on Sunday. Just a lot of neat stuff going on. And I look forward to seeing you there. Come visit us sometime. We are at prospectccf.com, www.prospectccf.com.
Your telephone number.
Telephone number, 740-494-2222. Love to hear from you guys and have you come visit us. Thank you so much, Terry. It's been a great day. I'm going to go out and battle the rain again.
There you go. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place, the legendary